Let's do a different one.
Okay.
Headed out Mile High this week, and the 0-4 Broncos aren't the only thing that made me sick. This is the Push Off Podcast. Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Push Off Podcast, your favorite weekly NFL show that discusses everything that happened last weekend while getting you ready for the next. I am your host, Scott Hogan. Sitting across from the table from me, as always, is
Dan Elbow Down. Right.
Dan, we are back for week four recap.
It's quarter of the season.
That's
now
right,
in the books.
Quarter's done.
Unless you're the fucking Jets or the San Francisco 49ers.
You got your quarter on your way here. You're coming off your bye. But otherwise, yeah, we can look at how everybody looks. With quarter down of the season, it's a kind of a bittersweet thing to say. But there's so much more of the season left, and things can change,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, if you're 4-0, you very well could miss the playoffs. Yeah. It's unlikely, but it's possible. If you're 3-1, you could miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible, but it's, you know, that's very possible. If you're 0-4... fuck you. You're done. Just go ahead and plan for the next season.
Yeah.
0-4 is a insurmountable hole to come back from.
Which is nuts when you think that there is still the 12 games left they have to play, but here we are.
12 games you probably have to overcome already a 3-4 game lead in the division.
That's huge. What was the Texans last year when they made their run? Was it 0-3?
I think the Texans were 0-3, or they were 1-4.
Yeah.
When they got down to it. And, like, that's pretty impressive. But the rest of that division also, like, kind of caved in on itself.
Right. But they still ended up winning, like, 10 or 11 games. I mean, it hasn't happened before, but I get what you're saying, that it's pretty much done for you guys.
Yeah. Pack it in.
Okay, so we're going to get to these games. But first, Dan, I did take the trip to Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
I went to the Broncos and Jaguars game. I was there.
Rocky Mountain High, my ass. John Denver's full of shit.
Full of shit, man. Went out there for... So when we started this podcast, we had producer Drew and our sound engineer, Pat.
Yep.
And it was our sound engineer, Pat, that moved out there with his lovely wife,
Jaguars fan. One of the only Jaguars fans.
We made him a Jaguars fan, unfortunately. So with a mutual friend and his lovely wife, Sharla.
Who hosted the Not Safe for Work podcast for
that's
a long
right.
Time
that was part of the Universe Head family network.
Yep.
So check that out. Not Safe for Work podcast. That's still out there. That was a lot of fun. I got to sub in on one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. So I went out there and visited them. I had to see how they were. They got a new baby and stuff out there. So I flew out there this weekend and we went to the game. Got a quick story for you before we start into the
game. Oh, please.
So we get out there and it turns out, the poor baby's sick. Got a little stomach bug.
Ooh.
Dealing with that. Not keeping food down and he's not doing too well. So
ooh.
I didn't get to see the baby smile too much.
Yeah.
Not a lot of smiles. I wasn't
can't hold it against the baby though.
No. If I was feeling the way the baby was feeling, I wouldn't smile either. And fast forward to Sunday, I was feeling the way the baby was feeling. Not only me, but the whole household, Charlotte and the sound engineer Pat was feeling it too. Not the baby's fault in any way. This all happens to all of us.
Can I ask?
Yes.
Attic and basement? Just basement? Just
you know
attic?
What? There was a lot of times where it felt like it was going to be the attic, and it was that feeling where, like, yep, here comes the attic, and all your pores open up, and you start just sweating.
Yeah.
Never was the attic.
Oh, basement the whole time.
Plenty of basement.
Oh, no.
About 7 trips to the restroom in the morning there, and I'm like, well, I got these tickets. I'm gonna stiffen up, and I'm going to enjoy this. And Pat was in the
same. Stiffen up your upper bowels.
That's right. Pat was in the same mindset. He's like, look, we're going to Denver. We're going to enjoy
it. That's money spent, man.
It kind of was. The tickets, when they're on your phone like that, I don't know how you sell it off. And
especially last minute.
And we've never seen the Broncos play.
The 0-3 Broncos.
He's a Jaguars fan. He wants to see them. I'm like, yeah, man, let's go. I really don't want to stay home and watch that Vikings game, and I was right. So we drive out there, get some Pepto, get some Imodium, get our systems trying to get on that right track.
Get on the choo-choo, the no-poo-poo choo-choo.
I got a hotel I'm staying at there to fly out of Denver the next morning, so get some rest in the bed. Do whatever we can before these games. Let's get out there.
Did you shit in the hotel?
Oh yeah, plenty.
That's the best place to shit.
That's hotels. What I wanted. I was like, let me in this hotel early. I know check-in's not till 3, but the game's ahead of that because it's Western time zone. You got to get me that private bathroom. Got to get us.
And we don't think about it, but like technically that is a public restroom.
Yeah, like, you're right, because it's used by public.
Yeah, technically it's used by the public.
But while they have my money and my credit card on file, it's mine.
It's yours, and you can do the and most horrible things.
It'll get cleaned before the next public person uses it.
Yeah, deeply.
Poor people that have to, but I kept it pretty good. And thankfully, Pat and Charlotte have a wonderful place where I have my own bathroom there, too.
So hey, wow.
There was no shaking the door, and oh my God. So we were okay, other than when we were driving to Denver. But anyways, we decide we're going to the game. We take an Uber down to the stadium. Sitting outside, it's a beautiful 80-some degree day. The sun's out.
And there's no ozone there. It's just hot.
Oh, you feel that sun. That's true. We're waiting for Drew's sister, Leah, who's coming to the game with us, our producer. And
she's Drew's sister.
Yeah, and so she's like, well, I'll meet you at this bar. And we're like, yeah, bar, probably not. Well, we can watch a little bit of the games ahead of time and then go. We're sitting outside the bar on a hill in the sun, just or in the shade now, in the park, and just laying there, not feeling great. And everybody who sees is like, oh, you guys had a rough night before, huh?
You're like, yeah, I guess kind of.
You have no idea. We slowly, like, slow motion walk up with the fans to the stadium. You never seen so much bright orange in your life, those Broncos fans. Even an 0-3 Broncos team.
I mean, I work in construction, Scott.
Oh, then you have. The neon colors were out. And when you get in there, screams of Let's Go Broncos, screams of Duval even.
Oh, wow.
There were some Jaguars fans there, and the Jaguars
traveling
fans
well.
Were loud, yeah. Once you got in the stadium, you couldn't hear them, but you saw them. I mean, there were people wearing full-on body suits of leopard print.
Wow.
So the Jaguars fans are there, and plenty of headbands and fake mustaches.
Oh, you gotta.
They're on the Minshew train. Pat was changing his jersey, say Minshew 2 on the back and tape. It's just the tape didn't stick for the game. And I was like, and he's 15. He just had the 1 and had the 5 for Bortles.
A series of tape and you've got yourself a brand new jersey.
But like I explained, our heads were not in the right spot.
No.
So we get into
Nor
this
were
game.
Your butts.
Yeah. And I don't want people to make us feel bad, but we did not make it past halftime.
So there's a difference between not making it to halftime because you're like, oh, let's beat the traffic, and not making it to halftime because you're like, I'm going to shit a public bench. I'm going to poo the entire row behind me.
Now, by then, I don't think I was feeling like I was going to go to the bathroom anymore. I had it all out, but my stomach and everything was just still like, yeah, you're not feeling great.
Yeah.
Like, I was just drinking water. Leah got us some waters. That was really nice of her. And then about halftime, Pat stands up and he's patting on his pants. Pat doesn't know where his car keys
are. Oh, no.
Now, we parked by the hotel, so, God, they could be in the hotel bed. Yeah. They could be anywhere. So I'm like, well, let me go with you. And he's like, you don't have to. And I was like, no, I kind of do. I still feel like shit, too. So we just left Leah at the game, and we went there. And it was 17-3 Broncos at that point, too. It was very heavy Broncos that first half.
It's a good time for in hindsight, a bad time for a Jaguars fan to leave.
Right. But at the time, it was like, yeah, there's probably nothing going to change here. We slow motion walk back up to that hill where we were staying at. And I get over there, and I'm like, there's no way they're here, but I'm a little interested. Like, where's Pat's keys? Even though I got a hotel stand, I don't know where he's going to end up. Sure enough, it had to be an hour and a half, nearly 2 hours later, and they are sitting in the tall grass right there.
Wow.
So of all the bad luck of the illness that he didn't lose his car keys on that day and have to figure out a way to get home for an hour and a half from Colorado Springs, they're right there. So
like, you're literally in a worse position if somebody picks those keys up for you.
Right.
You know,
never find them again. They're like, I guess I'll take them across the street to the bar.
Yeah.
Which would have been our next place to look, actually, because we use that restroom.
Yeah.
You must.
Hey, you mind if we real quick shit here? It's like, were you guys just here like 20 minutes ago?
So we get a Uber back to the hotel area in downtown, and he's like, I'm going to use your bathroom a little bit and stay in there. I was like, yeah, let's watch the end of the game at least.
Yeah.
So we turn on the game. I am in and out of consciousness. Pat's throwing up. I think I wake up in time to be like, for those of you that watch the Bears beat the Vikings, we're going to this game. I'm like, of course we are. Whatever. Yeah. I didn't have to watch it. I lived it, the amount of that game. And then we watched the Jaguars and Minshew lead them back, come back and win. It was a great little win there. Man. So Pat's a little happy when he leaves, even though he's still feeling like crap. Walk into his car. I go to see if I can get some food down. Really can't. And then during your Cowboys game Sunday night, again, in and out of sleep, pass out, just cold sweats all night in that hotel bed. But take a nice shower the next morning, and I'm able to get on the plane and get back here to good old Chicago.
Well, thanks for bringing your illness into my house.
Yeah, that's welcome great. And take it.
And my baby daughter, my wife and baby daughter, thank you.
I think it should be gone by now. I'm just very thirsty.
If that's all that's the matter, that's okay.
I think so.
Everybody's sick, man. This is the time of year when that stuff just like sneaks up on you.
That was a different type of illness than I've ever had, I think. I think it might have been the norovirus.
Yeah.
Ugh. Don't wish it on anybody, not even your worst enemy.
Don't go on a cruise ship.
Don't go on a cruise ship. They will quarantine you. They'll just leave you. You have to stay in your room. That stuff spreads. But luckily, hopefully, I didn't get anybody playing sick.
It wouldn't just be you. You're okay.
I rode Spirit. Everyone know what they're getting into.
Spirit is the worst airline in the universe.
I bought an $11 seat to the aisle so that I could, just in case, need to use a bathroom. But I didn't. Just don't get up on
those. Got that upgrade?
2.5 hour flights, yeah.
Shitting in a diaper. And they're like, oh, we have Spirit Airlines diapers. They're $48. Yep. You're like, oh, you bastards.
That's how they get you. That's why their tickets are so cheap. Anyways, I don't usually like it when podcasts delve into their personal stories like this, but I had to explain. I was at the game.
And it's a football-based story.
There's a loose football base in there, and a loose of the podcast base, too, with Pat in it. So.
And loose bowels.
Oh, God, so much. So, now that that's over with, let's just get to the games.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to the games. Heading into the picks, I was 29 in this week. Dan, you were just at 27. My mom's leading the pack at 31. Hey, big sigh for me either. Neither of us didn't do very good.
I didn't make a move this week. A
lot of road teams won.
Yeah, a lot of upsets.
All right, let's get into it. The game of the week. I want to start in Detroit, where the Chiefs road team won in a crazy back and forth game. Chiefs 34, Lions 30. We both took the Chiefs.
Not an upset, but definitely a shock. Yes. This was one hell of a game where everybody just played with Crisco on their hands pretty much the entire time. I think there was 5 consecutive drives that ended with a fumble.
Jeez.
Between the two teams, that's fucking crazy. The fact that 5 consecutive drives ever end in a turnover is nuts. The fact that all of them end in a fumble means you got to go do some ball security drills, guys. Walk around the hallways with that ball tucked in there. If somebody knocks it out, you got to do 100 push-ups.
I saw the Sammy Watkins fumble. He catches a ball. He's on the ground. It's like Coleman waited for him to get up so he could punch that thing
out.
Yeah,
that's smart defense.
Yes.
That's smart defense.
He's like, I could tag him down here, but instead, Lions ball. There it is.
Take a shot at it. If it doesn't come out, you just kind of fall on top of the guy, but you got... If you're an elite athlete and you think you have a quarter of a second on somebody, take a shot.
Stafford, 3 touchdowns in this game. Kerryon Johnson, 157 total yards from scrimmage. Kenny Golladay had 2 touchdowns and both of them magnificent.
They were gorgeous, gorgeous catches. Kenny Golladay is turning himself into a low-key top 10 wide receiver in the league.
Yeah, I mean, at least skill-wise, it's just, you know, you get some better attention on the other side of the ball, I think, and there he goes.
And he's getting their number one coverage man. Like, there's nobody else in Detroit where you're like, oh, should we worry about him or Kenny Golladay? It's Golladay all day, and still the guy puts up fucking numbers.
Yeah, because otherwise it's Marvin Jones, which I like Marvin Jones, but now Galladay's already surpassed him.
It's clear. It's clear.
And then Mahomes on the other side, he had 350 yards passing, no touchdowns.
Yeah.
What? Mahomes, right? No touchdowns?
Is he okay?
He did, though, run for 54 yards in this game. What? I didn't know he had that game in him.
All you can do is hope to contain him. He cannot be stopped.
No. And you hear a speech of him near the end of the game, too, to his teammates, and he's like, I believe in you. I just think we need to be us. Actually, it's more like, I believe in you, and I just think I need to be us.
I love the guy, though. He's got a lot of Kermit the Frog in him.
Yeah.
You know, he's not... One of my favorite halftime speeches ever was Ed Reed in Miami.
I don't know this one.
Oh, this is great. Where he basically... Somebody's like, hey, Ed, how you doing? He goes, don't ask me how I'm doing. I'm hurt. I'm fucking hurt. And it was like, he's literally just screaming at this dude for being, like, concerned about...
Is that another player asking?
He's screaming at another hurricane. And he's like, let's go win this motherfucker. Game. He's like, I don't care that I'm hurt. Don't ask me how I am. I'm hurt, but I don't give a shit. I'm here to win. I was like, that's some Ed Reed metal shit. This is before he had like that awesome afro and beard. This is when he was just like a young, spunky lunatic. Okay. That's great.
Well, back to the Chiefs win. Lions take that lead on that Kenny Golladay toe drag.
Yeah. Oh, God, what a catch that was.
But 2 minutes, 20 seconds left, two timeouts, and you got that two-minute warning. Deuce is wild. That's too much time for Kansas City.
And the unfortunate thing is there was no option for Detroit, really.
Right.
Like, Other than
let Kansas City score quicker.
That's the only other option. We're at that point with Kansas City where it's like 3 minutes left. You're like, just give up a fucking deep bomb. Yeah. Just let him go.
And you'd think Andy Reid would do that.
But yeah.
For some reason, it was just a slow trickle down the sideline, so they scored at the end. Just enough time to take over, and that was it for the Lions.
A three-point deficit is such a different drive than a four-point deficit.
Oh, sure.
Because a three-point deficit, you go, worst-case scenario, if we get over the 40, we got a field goal try.
In fact, a three-point deficit, a lot of times teams seem to slow up after that. Like, all right, exactly. We're in field goal range. We're going to tie this up. We'll go to overtime. It's like, no, go win this. And they did.
They took that shot, and they definitely did.
And that's what you need to do, I think, to be the top teams in the league. And Chiefs are definitely one of those now. 4-0 at the end of this game, Andy Reid in the locker room. This is his speech. I quoted it. Not all of Mozart's paintings were perfect. The end result is that sucker's going to sell for millions of dollars.
Oh, completely serious.
Completely serious. He had to be. Unless it was like one long running joke for the cheesism, I don't believe it. I think he's completely serious.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Let him go. He's rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to get a Bluto in there from Andy Reid. That's wonderful.
So that's what I have on this game. Chiefs win it. They're going to go on to keep winning. The Lions go on a bye week for week 5.
So if you're, I know we don't believe in moral victories because you don't get those in the stat count.
But
for the Detroit Lions to be 2-1-1 going into the bye after handling maybe the best team in the AFC West. Well, sorry, maybe the best team in the AFC, probably the best team in the AFC West.
Yeah.
To handle that team and go, we can play them and we can win. A couple things go our way, a couple fewer turnovers in our direction. We could contain Pat Mahomes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a game we could have won. I think you feel pretty good as a Lions fan. I think you feel pretty good as a Lions player. The one thing I am worried about, TJ Hockenson, probably going to be out for a little while. That was a pretty bad head injury.
Yeah. Yeah, but other than that, you come out pretty unscathed too, and he was out kind of early in that game.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets a couple weeks off and he's fully recovered from concussion protocol, maybe we're having a different conversation. But if I'm the Lions and I think I can win a couple games without Hockenson, I'm going to let him do it just to heal up.
They look good, and it's just, it's another team in the NFC North that's going to swing around here. So, yeah, that's what we're seeing here. And if that's how the season's going to be, so be it. I can't do nothing about that.
True.
Let's move on and talk about the another game, surprisingly, here at the noon hour. The Raiders beating the Colts in Indy 31-24.
When you don't have T.Y. Hilton, that definitely changes your offensive capabilities.
That's true. No T.Y. for the Colts, and that was shown. But there was some bad turnovers and things like this that let the Raiders jump up quickly.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are at a position with their team. And by the way, the Raiders are 2-2. They're not an embarrassment. They're 2-2. They're the same record as the Colts, so it's not like this was a major upset. You just didn't expect the Oakland Raiders to go into Indianapolis and get this done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're the Oakland Raiders, this is about as good as you thought the year was going to go after the Antonio Brown thing.
True.
If you're 2-2 at the quarter turn, you're feeling pretty solid. And if you're the Indianapolis Colts, you're 2-2 after the Andrew Luck retirement, you're feeling pretty solid. Neither one blew the other one out. Technically, the Oakland Raiders are playing with a full deck, and the Indianapolis Colts mixed their number one offensive player. I think either one of these teams is walking away from this game feeling pretty okay. Colts made some mistakes they could tighten up on, but you did still have a relatively productive game from Jacoby Brissett. And even though Derek Carr wasn't like super accurate in this game, super productive, he made the plays he needed to make all game long.
Good point. Yeah, from what I've seen of the Raiders and now how they Colts had taken on a Raiders team in their own house, I don't feel like we're looking at any wild or any playoff teams here.
No.
But it's a long season, you're right, and they're 2-2, so things can get hot. People, you know, things can change around for them, but as injuries happen and things like that, it's going to get tougher and tougher.
Just got to be in the mix. You got to be in the mix.
Yeah, and the Colts have been in the mix the last few years, even when, well, the one when Luck was completely out was a little rougher for him because they just traded for Brissett and threw him in there. Now that he's had a few...
Scott fucking Tolzien.
Right. Like, well, you're going to do that.
What are you going to do with Scott Tolzien?
But now that Brissett's in here, I mean, he had 3 touchdowns in this game trying to lead them back. Carr with 2 himself just wasn't enough. They kind of just ran out of time in this one. And then the only other thing I want to talk about is Vontaze Burfict.
Mm-hmm.
That hit on Jack Doyle, leading to a year-long suspension. Your boy's done.
Scott, can I borrow your beverage real quickly?
All right.
Ooh. Congratulations. We toast Vontaze Burfict to a completed career.
toast to nothing.
May we see him in 2 years in the XFL. Salud.
Yeah.
Slancha. Best of luck to you, Vontaze. I sure didn't enjoy the hell out of watching you headhunt. Say goodbye to the bad guy.
If he can still play, you're right. He's in the XFL. If he can't, absolutely. He's a defensive coordinator.
Hey, Marvin Lewis always needs assistance. There was enough dudes. Vontaze actually has a great mind for football if he didn't jelly the fucking thing.
Given that he's played for as long as he has, it's hard to prove that he wasn't for that case.
By the way, that wasn't a beer, everybody. These are Mexican Cokes. So like, we're not drinking, doing the podcast. We're professionals.
Whatever.
These are Mexican Cokes, man. Hecho en Mexico.
It's par for the course for what I've seen from this player, that a guy who nobody's around him, his knees on the ground, and he straight up squared up and slammed helmet into helmet on Jack Doyle.
Yeah, Vontaze is a crazy lunatic person, but I love him, and I'll always love him.
Okay.
And now that he's out of the league, I don't ever have to worry about him injuring a Cowboy player, so it's great.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm good. He was in the AFC the whole time, never had to worry about him.
Anyway, so this leads us to talk about next week's Sunday Night Football tilt, the Indianapolis Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs.
This would have been way more exciting a couple weeks ago,
but
you still got to feel like Kansas City is not hitting on all cylinders right now. They're doing pretty good, but this is going to be a nice tune-up and test. If they go 5-0, nobody stops the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. But the Colts need to take one here. To go down and be 2-3 versus being 3-2 feels like a world of difference.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a highlight game. This is, you know, I'm not going to pick the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, you what?
I can't do it. No. I just can't do it, but I feel like this is going to be a good game. I like Brissett. I like the running game, even though it didn't get going against the Raiders. It just felt like they were behind the Raiders too much to get it going. I'm taking the goddamn Kansas City Chiefs. I feel unoriginal.
We could say that, last week, this loss against the Raiders was something that went pear-shaped early. It was 21-7, and that changes the way you play the game most of the time. But because that happened, it gives me less faith that the Colts will be in this game, where I can't pick against the Chiefs, not until they play the Patriots. They went 7-0, 8-0 last year before they lost their first one to the Rams, and even that took everything.
So that Rams game was like 140-139.
Right, and these Chiefs really haven't hit a injury bug, knock on wood, yet for them either. So, yeah, I'm taking the
Chiefs. Tyreek Hill is out, guys.
And he could be on his way back.
Tyreek Hill is out. So, and we still may not have T.Y.
Right.
So if it's I'm missing Tyreek or missing T.Y., I'm
still.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs anyway.
I'm going with the Chiefs until they tell me not to in the way they play.
Yeah.
And they haven't yet. It was a nice comeback win even for the game in Detroit. They jumped up 10-0 on them. So.
And Andy Reid managed the clock. Jesus.
And Andy Reid managed the clock. All right, let's move on. Let's get it out of the way. The Vikings, 6. The Bears, 16.
Was not even that close.
I picked it, though. Knew it was going to happen.
Do you feel good about yourself?
No.
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 No one likes to pick that team.
You know who else picked this one, though?
Your mom.
Yep. As Vikings fans know.
There's some strong pessimism in that Viking family household.
Well, and here's the other thing. We are 0-3 now against the Chicago Bears, led by their new head coach there.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that was last year in this one game, but yeah, so far, that's what we are.
I feel like it was...
Matt Nagy. Thank you.
It was perhaps a very different game if Trubisky's in there.
So, and this is the one thing, is the Bears are missing a lot of starters here. Trubisky
Key
went
Mix,
out in the...
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, Key Mix, Roquan Smith, Kyle Long on the offensive line. Taylor Gabriel, who just cut three touchdowns the week before. So, all of that was part of it, and they're still not able to get a pass rush. They knocked Trubisky out in the first drive, which you think that fall... with shoulder pads on, has to hurt the hell out of your shoulder. So he's already doubtful for the next week.
There's a little tear in his labrum. He's definitely out next week, but they don't think it's like a full rotator cuff injury.
Right.
They think it's just a sprain.
They don't think there'll be surgery or anything. So it was like, okay, and I'm not watching the game live on this one, so I get it later. And really just the highlights is all I can stomach in this one. But I think the story is that Cousins had no time. they didn't change things to get the ball out of his hand either, and maybe he was missing the quick reads. But
he was missing a lot of quick reads.
Two fumbles lost, I think even three total. They were Khalil Mack was running around our left tackles like they were tied to a post.
I mean, Riley Reiff is not an elite left tackle.
No, after this game, I was like, well, that's another position we're going to need to upgrade after this year.
Well, the goal, I thought, was always to slide Brian O'Neill over there and find a replacement on the right tackle that's more of a road grader, because O'Neill looked like he was doing okay. Obviously, he didn't have to handle Hicks or Roquan Smith or anything like that, but I thought he looked well. I thought Riley Reiff was overmatched almost the entire game.
Yeah.
And I thought Cousins, to a degree, like, once you know that your left side is collapsing as frequently as it is, get some two-step drops, get some three-step drops, get the fuck out of there.
That's why it didn't make sense, yeah.
He was on four and five steps holding onto the ball. That clock needs to go off in your head, Cousins. It's got to. He was missing too many reads to wide-open dudes that were coming open due to the play call.
Yeah.
But because of the pressure, he was like, well, fuck it, I can't even throw over to that side of the field.
I think he was in his head a little bit through that pressure, too, and so offensive line to blame, Cousins to blame, maybe even play calling. Maybe it's an all three thing here. I mean, the Vikings defense held the Bears to 16 points with Chase Daniel at the helm throwing a touchdown. They didn't ask a whole lot of this offense. It's just try to find something going here. But
it must be nice for Bears fans to see a quarterback throw accurately.
I mean, this is kind of par for the course for Bears, isn't it? A quarterback that just is like, I don't know. We got a stout defense, but this quarterback, I don't know.
Chase Daniel looked better than Mitch Trubisky all game.
Are you calling for a quarterback controversy?
I'm saying if he tears it up for two or three straight weeks, we're probably having a situation where they're like, we're going to let Mitch rest, really heal that shoulder, and Trubisky's going to have himself a problem. He has not looked good all year.
So what we saw here, oh yeah, Bears had six sacks in this game. The Vikings had two possessions the whole first half.
That's very hard to come back from.
Hey, no kidding. Then the first play of the third quarter was a strip sack.
Yeah, that game was over at that point.
It felt like it. It was like, oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
And it was like, I think it was 10 to nothing at that point.
Yep.
So, I mean,
so whatever. It was 10-0 at the half, and then very quickly they scored a field goal off that. Now, the fact that they only allowed a field goal off of that positioning should tell you what you need to know about your own defense.
Yeah.
Which looked great. But Chase Daniel looked efficient and accurate, something Mitch Trubisky never is.
Short little passes that we were giving them. I think we need to play a little tighter on that line. When you have such a good pass rush, you just need to give them time to get there. But when he's just getting rid of it, I don't know. It felt like the Vikings never got going in this game, and they really never did with just 6 points. Diggs kind of started showing up and helping us out, and Cousins was finally feeling like, okay, I could trust this guy, but Adam Thielen's wide open at the 5-yard line, and he overthrows, and it's like, we're all getting a little tired of this now, Kirk.
There was a really good wide open throw for Thielen, and Cousins missed him, just deep. That was at like the 3-yard line. That would have been a real tough catch.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, that would have been a real tough catch. But Cousins, you've got to make that throw.
He had the steps. Yeah, he was a good step and a half.
You got the separation. You got to make that throw. This Bears team very much feels like the old expression: you can't go broke making a profit.
Mm.
That's how they feel. That's how they feel on offense. That's how they feel on defense, even with a couple guys out. But I do worry about this team a little bit now, because we are probably for a couple weeks going to be missing Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Personal reasons. People are saying that he's not been himself lately, that they need to just give him some time away. He's probably not going to be ready for next week either. And it shows signs of like what Everson Griffin and the Vikings went through last year. Now he ended up making it back and he seems okay now, so hopefully the same for Roquan Smith. You don't want any of this stuff. I mean, injuries or personal stuff, I don't like hearing any of it. I think it makes it easier for the Bears to choose who is available and who isn't, because next week they go to London and they play those Raiders out there in old Wickenham. I don't know which stadium it's in.
if it's
Wickenham or the other.
Wembley.
They're out there. It's Bears at Raiders in London this
Bears
weekend.
And Raiders in the sticky
but
wickets.
But it's not the game that gets to start at like 7:30 in the morning, so who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Those are the ones I love.
Those are the ones I love.
I wake up and I'm just like, God, there's football on. It's
all
wonderful.
Day long.
I am actually going to surprise you. I'm going to pick the Raiders here in England.
You are surprising me.
Because the Bears are going to make one mistake, and that is practicing all week in Chicago.
Is that right?
They're not going over until I want to say Thursday or Friday.
Uh-oh. And the Raiders are going over there sooner.
Raiders are going over there
They've
sooner.
They've done this before, too.
Mm-hmm. So it's that experience. This is not a playoff game, obviously, but no. There's certain things where you just condition your body. You know, you get your circadian rhythms kind of locked in. You know what you're doing. I think the Raiders have that slight edge.
Years ago, there was a Vikings and Steelers game out there, and both teams were like 0-3 when they did the game and needed a win to keep their hopes alive of the season. And I watched like a behind the scenes of it after the Vikings ended up winning, but not by a lot, but they won it. And it was Vikings went over there and they were there for a couple extra days and they worked out there. And then the Steelers got over there and they're talking to each other about, man, I'm feeling like this. And when were you? And they're like, oh yeah, we've been over there before. And like, what? And you could tell, yeah, one team was much fresher than the other. Yeah. And I could see that being there. Straight up talent wise, I have to take the Bears here.
So yeah, so do I.
I will, because yeah, just to be different than you.
The England games always get a little wonky for me.
That's true.
With an injury to the quarterback, it's a week of Chase Daniel, but now there's a full game of film on Chase Daniel, so you can start to learn
what
some
they're going to ask
there.
Him to do. Yeah,
because I think last year Chase Daniel came out and surprised some people. I think he came out and he surprised the Vikings a little bit.
You're making some good points here. I just feel like you didn't take the Bears last week. I just don't think you have the credit for him, and that's what I'm.
No, that's fair. I'm all on board on this Raider.
I should be
Raider
the one Madeline. Hating on the Bears, but you scoop it on.
The Bears are a talented team. David Montgomery is very talented.
Yeah.
But you said it yourself. There's a lot of injuries here on this Bears team, too.
True.
As much of a Superman as Khalil Mack is, if the Raiders can say, make sure Mack doesn't embarrass us, that's enough of a game plan.
But that is the other thing, is Khalil Mack has already said how much he's been looking forward to this one. This is his redemption game. Ooh, boy, from what I saw from Khalil Mack against the Vikings, I am afraid of what he brings to London.
I'm afraid of Khalil Mack forever and always.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to talk about a NFC East tilt of the Washington Redskins losing to the New York Giants 3-24. You and me were thinking the Redskins were going to take care of these Giants here, but we were wrong. You know who's right?
Your mom.
My mom takes the Giants here. She didn't have a bad week.
The Giants seem to have a different joie de vivre with young Daniel Jones at the helm.
That's true.
Seems like it's tuned things up. Also, I remember at the end of last week, I was like, who the fuck is going to like make a difference in this game? Gallman?
Sure enough,
there he goes.
118 total yards from scrimmage and 2 touchdowns.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, guys.
Yeah,
we appreciate
you
out there.
You proved us wrong. We like when you do. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as long as you don't do it against the Cowboys, I don't fucking care. But yeah, Wayne Gallman had a hell of a game. 18 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. And goddammit, he was still fucking doing it in receiving. He had 6 catches for 55 and a touchdown. So
that's right.
All-purpose back. Didn't obviously look like Saquon, but playing the Saquon position and playing it well. It's when the understudy goes in and you're like, hey, he's not a star, but my man's a good actor.
Yeah, right? Not bad. Daniel Jones didn't have a perfect game. He threw 2 interceptions, did have a touchdown. Janoris Jenkins had a nice comeback game with 2 picks himself.
Mm-hmm.
Got to give him credit for that. It's really, though, I don't know if it was the Giants having such a great game or the Washington Redskins in that organization just continually making dumb decisions. And this one, it was halfway through the second quarter, Case Keenum throws an awful interception, and it's, you're done, I'm going to bring in the new guy. So if you're Dwayne Haskins, what a great time to come in a game. Then week 4, second quarter, you probably haven't played starter the whole practice.
Nope.
And, yeah, go on in and see how you do against these Giants when you're already down. And what does he do? Oh, he throws 3 interceptions.
Yeah, it was brutal. He threw his first touchdown, though. He just threw it for the New York Giants.
Go. So if you're the Redskins, what do you do moving forward now?
I mean, you just have to, like I said, if you're 0-4, you're playing for next year. I want to see what I got in Haskins. He's a first-round pick. I'm not going to move on from the guy. But you have to say to yourself, all right, what do I need to address? Do I really need to move my left tackle? Am I going to move Silverback? Because at this point, what am I trying to do? Am I trying to make the playoffs? I don't think so. With a rookie quarterback, a disheveled offensive line, and a defense that is basically just a bunch of defensive linemen and a bunch of dudes that are, you know, going to go to jail.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is it? Like,
you're going to have a pretty high draft pick the way things are going. Get another maybe second rounder? What can you get for...
I think for Trent Williams right now, as long as he checks out okay, you can get a second and a fourth.
Yeah.
A second and a fourth, which could be like...
from some team that thinks they still got some on the line.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, trade him to a 2-2 team.
That's right.
Hey, fuck, the Minnesota Vikings might need a left
tackle.
We're
looking for a left tackle, yeah. Sure. And we're willing to sell out on this season because who knows what the coaching staff's feeling.
Yeah.
So that does lead us to the Vikings game next week in New York. They're playing the Giants.
You got to feel pretty good about it. I know Daniel Jones has been impressive for a rookie, but he's still a rookie going against the Mike Zimmer defense. And this is still a team that can absolutely pound that ball in the running game. They couldn't do it against the Bears, but that's only because they had two drives in the first half.
Yeah.
You can't get a running game going with two drives in the first half. That's fucking crazy.
Way I see it is we got to get this one. So I'm going to pick them because we have to have this one. And I don't know if the Giants are thinking so much on this season. We got to go this season because they just put in the rookie quarterback and maybe any winning, anything that looks good is golden right now. But as we talked about, the first quarter of the season's over. Mm-hmm. The next four games for the Vikings in the second quarter is at New York Giants, home against the Eagles, at Detroit, home against the Redskins. I feel like we got to win all four of those.
You got to win three of those.
Three out of the four, up to four, to be a team to take seriously this season.
You got to beat the Giants, you got to beat the Redskins, and you got to take one from either the Lions or the Eagles.
I mean, I think the Eagles at home,
it's tough.
And the Lions on the road is going to be real tough here. They're tough. This season now, too. So, I don't know. I'm hoping these are big ones. So, yeah, got to win New York.
If you're 4-4 at the midway point of the season, you're not out of it, but you're in trouble.
We're heading towards an 8-8
season. If you're 5-3, not bad.
Right, I guess. But I want to be 6-2, damn it.
I just don't see it for you.
Well, but this week,
you see it. This week, I see it. Oh, yeah. No, this week, you're going to 3-2.
I'm
going to
be back to some happy news. All right. Yeah, I'll take the Vikings in this one as well. And hope that I am correct. All right, let's move on. Talk about the New England Patriots sneaking out a win in Buffalo against those Bills, 16-10.
This was not a good game. This was a very fucking sloppy game. Obviously, we took New England, even though it was in Buffalo. Josh Allen looked like shit. But you know who else looked like fucking shit? The Patriots offense.
Yeah, Tom Brady, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. That Bills defense might be fucking for real. They've been for real all year. They have got to get better play from the quarterback position. Matt Barkley looked like Josh Allen.
Except for the interception where he threw it straight up into the air.
Sure. I mean, that was pretty bad, but that's also the Patriots defense being like, let's be just max opportunistic.
You're right. Josh Allen did not look good in this game. I think, you know, Belichick gave him a week, and this young QB, probably stuff he hasn't ever seen before.
Poor bastard, yeah.
I think I still have faith that Josh Allen is better than the production he put out on the field in this game.
I think so, yes.
But it was, I mean, you're right. It was an ugly game offensively. Maybe that meant good defense here because the Patriots had 5 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brady with 1, Josh Allen with 3, and Barkley with 4 means Patriots turned the ball over at least 4 times in this one.
Barkley with the 4th. Barkley didn't throw 4 interceptions.
Right, Barkley with the 4th himself. God, that would have been an ugly ending.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we both picked this one. We knew the Patriots were going to win, but did you think it was going to be this tight?
I did not think it was going to be this tight. Like I said, I think I was probably just underestimating the defense there in Baltimore.
Buffalo.
The defense there. I was also, I overestimated the defense of Baltimore.
We'll talk about that later. We'll get there.
But yeah, watching this Bills team, they look sharp. They look crisp. They look like they got playmakers at every level of the defense. They look like they were really confusing Tom Brady. There was really good players in the secondary. Obviously, Edmonds is a fucking really solid middle linebacker and was making big plays.
He's getting better and better even. Yeah, that's scary.
He's young, but he's fast, and he's instinctive, and he's good.
I mean, we talked about how raw he was, I think, coming in, and now, he's figuring it out.
Yeah, 2 tackles for loss, man. I mean, from a middle linebacker, that means that is an early diagnosis and gap penetration. That's what I want.
Those are great. One more thing about Buffalo we need to talk about is Frank Gore. As we love to talk about this guy on the show, he had 109 total yards from scrimmage here. He now has over 15,000 yards rushing. He becomes 4th all-time in career yards. He is just a little over 200 yards away from Barry Sanders in all-time. The only 3 guys ahead of him, Hall of Famers.
Yeah. There is an outside chance that he could be the all-time leading rusher in NFL history.
After think Barry, about how crazy Walter Payton and Emmitt Smith, yeah.
Think about how fucking crazy that would be if he became the all-time leading rusher.
Frank Gore.
Just slow, steady, 1,000-yard season after 1,000-yard season. Frank Gore is a fucking Hall of Famer, and he should be a first ballot.
He's played 15 seasons, and he's only missed 15 games. That's crazy. A big thing of it too. Yeah. He, I mean, this is a guy, I still have him on my fantasy team.
And you should.
And you should, because he's, yeah, he produces. I started him. Yeah, this is the thing that Frank Gore keeps doing over and over again, and we keep going like, well, he hasn't proved us wrong yet. Why bet against the guy? And the Bills aren't, and it's awesome. It's Frank, really fun.
Frank Big Dick Energy Gore.
I bet the Niners are really kicking themselves they don't have him still.
How many running backs have they gone through since Frank Gore?
Yeah.
Innumerable.
Too many. Because they were so sure Carlos Hyde was the answer.
Oh, he was the guy. He was the guy. Carlos Hyde was the answer. He was the risen Lord.
So the Bills, though, don't win this one. The Patriots go 4-0 themselves. They're the other class the AFC in my mind right now. This was their first test, though, and it was tight. So what do we think their chances are when they go on the road to Washington? I try to make that
If you're the Washington Redskins, you've got to be like, all right, guys, let's clear the cobwebs of that divisional loss. That was pretty rough, but all right, let's focus on next week.
We got a get-back game.
Motherfucker. You know, because
one of those get-right games.
If you really do what players all say they do, where it's like, we're just focused on this week, we're not worried about next week. If you really do that, and you're a Washington Redskins fan or a Washington Redskins player, how much of a bummer is it to look up and see New England on the schedule? You're like, 0-5 it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, what's the point of even, like, suiting up and making it a game this week?
And this was heading into this week. There was a little rumors about, oh, Jay Gruden's job might be in jeopardy. After this game, if they lose, they might make that a reason. They're like, no, Jay Gruden's fine. Now that they lost that badly to a divisional rival, yes, they're on the road, but that badly, I don't know if he sees the end of the season.
He definitely doesn't see the end of the season.
Definitely.
Definitely. Here is a lead pipe fucking lock. Jay Gruden, tombstone. Washington Whoa. Redskins, tombstone.
Well, yeah.
Redskins tombstone, Jay Gruden tombstone. He's had too many years at the helm of this team with no improvement whatsoever. I wouldn't trust him to develop Dwayne Haskins from this point out. Mm. There's been too many problems. And if you're Dan Snyder, I need a scapegoat.
Yep.
Give me that Gruden boy. Get him out of here.
Yep. And he's been there for long enough that you could say, Sue, I just tried. I gave him every chance.
We gave him every opportunity he had. You know, they didn't. But it's like, eh, fuck it. You also signed with the Washington Redskins, Jay. What did you think was going to happen? They were going to support you?
I don't know
why Ike Turner keeps hitting me.
Oh, they've already asked Bill Belichick who he's getting ready for in this game. And he's like, well, we're going to get ourselves ready for every quarterback they could put out there. You know, keep an eye on it. They got a lot of guys. They got a lot of talent there.
I've been watching film on Sammy Baugh.
Yeah, it makes me think that they'd be like, all right, here's what, if Alex Smith gets up there and plays, here's what we're doing. He's like, well, Alex Smith, just in case. We're going to be ready. So
here's
everyone just 60 stay
hours of Alex Smith film digested.
We're going to be ready. So, yeah, I guess we're taking Patriots?
Yeah, I feel strongly about the New England Patriots here.
We are in agreement on this.
Although, what a trap game.
Yeah.
Because the one thing Brady doesn't always do well against is a good, solid front four pass rush.
He's on the road.
Yeah.
Who knows?
No, I can't do it. We can't do it.
But you know what? We should probably take a look at all those Redskin QBs like Belichick is. So we'll do that in this, our break. And when we come back, that 2-minute no offense and all the rest of the games from week four. We love having you here. This is the push off.
Well, I took off running at the greatest speed. I didn't bother looking to either side of me. Oh, I didn't see, I just didn't see what was really going on. The trees had stopped and the skyline rose, exchanging comfort for more fashionable clothes. I'd left the hills at this point in time to run on treadmills in a perfect line. Salad days and up to do shit.
That's it. We're back from the break, which always when we're back from the break, that means that we had to step right into the 2-minute no offense.
Because no offense, but if you find yourself in this section of our podcast, it means we don't think much of you or we didn't think much of your game. You either throat fucked somebody or were on the receiving end of a throat fucking.
That is perfectly up to what the 2-minute no offense is. And recently what it is a couple of teams that are just proving that they're not ready to play this season or don't even want to, and I'm just kind of throwing them in there.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of these teams are like, hey, we waved the white flag months ago. Don't be picking on us. We made a decision.
Yes. And just so that decision, we'll start with that game. You got the clock.
And ready to go.
Chargers 30, Dolphins 10.
God, this was a steal.
Who's picking the Dolphins anymore? No one. We both took the Chargers.
I can't. Rosen didn't look terrible, man, but he's just so devoid of weapons. That offensive line is so fucking bad.
Chargers got Melvin Gordon back. Melvin Gordon is back. Now, he did not play in this game, even though he was even active. It was still Austin Eckler with 122 total yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns.
Yeah, and he's not going to be Melvin Gordon shape for another 3 or 4 weeks. Like, right. He missed all that offseason conditioning because working out at a gym and working out on a field getting chased by motherfuckers, very different.
It's going to take a little bit, and Chargers D showed up here. 5 sacks, 2.5.
They had to show up.
Desmond King.
They had to show up.
Yeah. No, you're right. They had to. All right, moving on. Seahawks 27, Cardinals 10.
God, Larry Fitzgerald passed... This is the only thing I want to talk about because, yeah. God, the Arizona Cardinals are fucking terrible. Larry Fitzgerald is now number 2 all-time in receptions behind Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice has over 230 more receptions than this fucking guy. But still, that's impressive. To be number 2 behind Jerry Rice is such an accomplishment. Congratulations, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald is the man. I want to talk about the pick 6 by the guy that we said really hasn't shown up yet, Jadeveon Clowney.
Jadeveon... Hey, if you're going to tune up, you got to tune up against the Arizona Cardinals. This is a way to go. He got tuned up.
There's a part of me thinking like, well, it's on the road. It's a divisional game. Heck no. The Seahawks took care of it, and we knew they would.
Arizona Cardinals, top 5 pick.
Yeah.
Arizona Cardinals, tombstone.
And then the Monday night battle, that was versus the winless AFC North matchup. Bengals 3, Steelers 27. We both took the Steelers at home.
Yeah, I mean, God, these Cincinnati Bengals look bad, but the Cincinnati Bengals look like they are shopping for a new quarterback next year.
Yeah.
Zach Taylor's got to be pretty fucking excited about that. And the Steelers may, we talked about this, they have their transitional quarterback in Mason Rudolph. And since they don't have a first-round pick this year because of the trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick, Mason Rudolph is feeling real good about his future with this team.
Yeah, if he can play into it, why not? Steelers D, 8 sacks. 8 sacks.
Feasting.
Yeah. Oof, bad day for Dalton.
Bud Dupree feels real good about himself now. He was a guy that was, he was probably going to walk out that door. This is like the Steelers defensive player in his 5th year that just makes a leap.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so this leads us to talk about next week's 0-4 Cardinals visiting the 0-4 Bengals. Future 2-minute no offense game.
God.
But.
It is definitely a 2-minute no offense game. Give me the fucking Bengals.
Yeah,
I just don't believe in Arizona at all.
Well, plus you have Arizona coming all the way to Cincy to play. That's a West Coast team going east.
And as someone who's had some stomach difficulties recently, if that's your first time experiencing Skyline Chili, good luck with the rest of the game, everybody.
No, I think...
Kyler Murray's like, ooh!
Out of the 0-4 teams, the Bengals are at least the less hapless of them, but Jesus, not a good look on either of these teams. So good luck anybody who's got that for the game to watch on Sunday.
God, if you're in the Southern Ohio market and that's the only thing on the film, Jesus Christ.
See if you can pick up the Tennessee game. I am taking the Bengals as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to a game that was much more fun, much more exciting. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beating the Rams 55-40.
Fire the cannons!
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, man, I did not pick this,
no,
but
none
God,
of us
I was I was ecstatic. I was ecstatic. And goddammit, Jameis tried to Jameis this thing away.
You know what? 385 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, he did the one pick.
But it was such a brutal fucking interception. It was like the one time you can't throw an interception. But that defense saved his ass.
It was a combined effort of not only Sue with the scoop and score against his old team from last year, but who got the strip sack? But Shaq Barrett.
Shaq Barrett.
Yeah.
Defensive player of the year so far.
Yeah, for first 4 games. But
if we're giving out quarter grades, we're probably talking about Mahomes as the MVP, and we're probably talking about Shaq Barrett as the defensive player of the year. And I don't think it's close.
No, unbelievable the season he's had so far. And then Goff has 517 yards passing. So this is a Rams where probably the only team that if they saw 55 put on them, go, all right, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's see how fast we can get up there. And if you kept them playing, no doubt, they'd make it up there. This really was just a couple of bad turnovers. I mean, Goff had 3 interceptions. So a couple of bad spots. They fell behind. Even when they caught up, brought it within 6 points. I mean, no. Brought it within, what was it, like 5 or 4? I don't even have the score written down, but... It was a one-score game before Sue took it to the end zone. So it became tight again. They nearly had 50 points then.
I mean, the Rams offensively can really stay with anybody. They're just so well-coordinated.
Yeah.
It's really fucking phenomenal. Now, I know you mentioned that Jared Goff, and it's time to shit on Jared Goff a little bit, because anytime I get the opportunity, I have to take it.
Here we are.
Jared Goff averaged about 12 yards per completion. That's not amazing. That's not great. But Jared Goff also threw the ball 68 fucking times.
Yeah, he dropped back, I think, 70-something.
Yeah, if you throw the ball 68 fucking times, he's averaging less than averaging less than 8 yards per attempt. That's not very good. So I know he looked like he put up a lot of fucking stats in this game, but you would too if you got to throw the ball 100 fucking times a game.
Yeah, he had to just keep tossing it. Gurley did get in the end zone twice, but yeah, it was mostly through the air to Woods and Kupp again.
Todd Gurley had 5 carries.
Yeah.
This running game disappeared.
Yeah, and they were willing to do that till kind of early in this game, and I think that's what ended up costing them, and that's why the pass rush started getting to Goff.
Because it wasn't insurmountable at the half, really. It was 28-17.
Right.
You're not out of that game. If you keep playing your game, you can get it done. That fourth quarter was fun as shit, though.
Yeah, and now here's the thing. So Rams have 40 points in this game. The Rams have scored 6 points the first quarter all season, all of their first quarters combined, just 6 points.
Slow starters.
Yep, that's what I have on this game. But yeah, a wild one. Oh, it was a scoreigami.
Ooh.
For those of you that don't remember, scoreigami means this is the first time ever that an NFL game is finished 55-40. Something fun. Oh, and Jameis Winston has a perfect QB rating when blitzed right now.
Wow.
158.3.
You got to feel like that's the Kangle.
Yeah, it's like, something changed, right?
Yeah.
He's like, you know what, enough of this.
This 2-2 Buccaneers team is a bit of a surprise. And like, the whole NFC South is wide open.
Yeah, because of the injury to Breeze, I think it's left the door open because of how well Kyle Allen's playing.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Kyle Allen looking like a fucking potential, I don't know, there's no like backup of the year, but Jesus Christ.
Right. All right, so this can lead us to talking about the Thursday night football game that's on tomorrow. Rams at Seahawks. We had a good one.
Give me them Seahawks. I know this Rams team is a bit of an offensive juggernaut right now, but I feel way better about the Seahawks after their tune-up game against the Arizona Cardinals. I think they're ready to go. I think they were shocked by the Saints.
Yeah.
I thought that watching their game, the little that I did, I'm sorry, guys, I didn't watch the whole fucking Arizona game. I'm not going to do that to myself. But watching the games and the components that I did, they looked sharp. They looked like a team that was hitting on all cylinders and ready to go and face these LA Rams.
It's a coin flip of a game for me. It really is. If it was in L.A., I'd say L.A., but Seattle is so good at home. I think the Rams still might talent-wise be a little bit above what Seattle's doing right now, but Seattle's always been this where it's like, we're good enough, though. Give us the right day. We don't shoot ourselves in the foot. We're going to win. I'll take the Rams just to be against you.
Hey, that's fine. You know I'm never going to pick the fucking Rams.
Make it a fun Thursday. I don't know, and maybe that's the opposite, too. Maybe I'm thinking he's underselling these Rams like he was the Bears. I'll get it on him again. So I'll take a road team here in the Rams. I'm taking a couple of road teams, even though the Oakland game is not really in Oakland.
I mean, everybody's on the road in England.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move
Except
on.
Except for the Jaguars.
Right. No, Jaguars, that's our home. Let's talk about it, Dan. We must. Cowboys 10, Saints 12. I took this, and so did my mom.
Well,
sorry.
You Hogans are terrible people.
And you took the Vikings and we did it.
Yes.
You see how this works?
There's no...
Realists. There's Dreamers. No, I'm pointing over there. Realists
hey
over
man,
here.
Hey, man, I live above the clouds. It's a wonderful view up here.
Come on
jungle.
Down. The world is scary and full of terrors.
The night is dark and full of terrors.
That's right.
That's the Hogan family crest. The night is dark and full of terrors.
So many terrors.
So this game, one, the Saints had our number, man. Like, from the word go, they had her number. Could not get a play action game going, really, because they just took away the run. I thought Dak played a good game. Didn't make a ton of mistakes. I thought this defense was shockingly good. Mm. Marcus Davenport has made a jump, and he is putting fucking pressure. That whole Saints defense is really good. They're really fast. Great corners. Marcus Lattimore looks like he's back. He had kind of a down year. Late
after
last
his
year.
MVP, or his rookie of the year.
Yeah, he had kind of a down year, and you're like, I wonder if he's ever going to get it back. They mentioned during the broadcast, like, he seems to play his best against really good players. because he's just so talented. He gets lazy against like mid-level guys.
They were
having Amari Cooper. He stepped his shit up.
They were like pinching somebody on Amari Cooper though. They were making sure to take him away from you guys, and that seemed to work.
They did. Also, the referees helped a shit ton. The officiating in this game was actually complete bullshit. And I mean that on both sides of the ball. There were some calls made in this game that were just bullshit against the Saints and just bullshit against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of those Cowboys bullshit calls were on big gainers for us, or on that fumble where his knee was or his elbow was obviously fucking down before the thing comes out. And you have a clear, perfect view of this shit. How is that still a fumble? I have no idea. This was a game the refs helped them win. Both of the two Cowboys' big turnovers were on our most effective offensive drives.
Oof.
With Jason Witten getting a big catch and then trying to turn upfield, get a couple extra yards, somebody knocks the ball out from him. And then as Zeke is getting that first down run, somebody knocks the ball out from him too. Those were both potential points. Like I know that defense was good. Let's just say each one of those games, each one of those drives was going to end at a field goal. We win this game.
The Cowboys defense, 5 sacks in this game. I could almost say that both of us are games you could look at. The defense gave you an opportunity to win. The offense just couldn't take care of it.
Oh, absolutely. This Cowboys defense looked... I know we're playing Teddy Bridgewater and it's not Drew Brees, but right. We were fast as shit, and we were on Alvin Kamara. We had a plan for Alvin Kamara, and we did not let him hurt us.
That stadium is not an easy place to play in for anybody, Brees or no. Yeah.
It was not, but the Cowboys need to start faster. That's what I keep coming back to. I know Dak had an interception in this game, but that was just a last-minute interception that
right.
really doesn't count against him. He was 22 for 33 the whole game. That's pretty good. That's a good Dak Prescott game for 223 yards. Zeke had 35 yards on 18 carries. That's not good enough.
Yeah. You brought up the last play, the interception. They blitzed him. Brilliant play call. I liked how that yeah. was instead of just sitting back in coverage. You're down just two, or you're up just two. You got it. You got to stop him from moving the ball any further. Because of that, because, yeah, Bridgewater in there, who hasn't looked like he's going to lead this team very much on his own shoulders.
No.
If this keeps going, if the Saints keep figuring out ways to win, to put W's in the column here, I've got to give like a Coach of the Year award to the man I hate on Sean Payton. Because right now, these last two games have been amazing.
They've been such masterful examples of game plan.
Yeah.
To take away. He absolutely does. Like that's, I'll say this. I would love to play the Saints again this week. And I'm sure the Seahawks feel the same way.
Right.
They're like, I'd love to play you motherfuckers again this week. Love it. If you can just give me one more crack at those fucking Saints, I think I could take them. If you can do that to everybody all year where people are like, oh, I'd love to get another crack at you, it means you're just a little bit smarter. Sean Payton is one hell of a head coach.
Yeah, I hate the guy.
I think he's a Hall of Fame head coach.
I've always hated the guy, but so far in this season, yeah, he's doing great things. Brees is still supposed to be back. He's beating some upper echelon NFC teams. I mean, I think Seahawks and Cowboys are going to be up there when we talk playoffs. So, Jesus, I'm afraid of still what these Saints can end up being with Brees coming back. But, yeah,
he's still out for at least another month.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's still a ways, and there's still games they've got to play. Coming up, good segue, they got another home game against their division rivals, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You know what? These Buccaneers are hyped.
So are we going to fire? Are we? I'm
fire the cannons!
Hey!
Buccaneers went and upset and absolutely upset.
Am I talking you into this pick?
No, you're not, because I'm very excited at watching these Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That defense that I said was emerging last year has finally erupted from the cocoon.
Thanks to Shaq Barrett.
Thanks to Shaq Barrett. But Shaq Barrett was there last year, man.
Was he?
Oh, no. No, he wasn't.
I think, yeah, they just brought him
sorry,
in.
They brought in Shaq Barrett, and he's absolutely playing dynamo. And Dominican Sue was playing like a fucking dynamo.
And you got the Kangol working his magic.
Kangol working the magic. Let me do this. Let me fire the cannons one more time.
All right.
I'm not going to fire the cannons a lot this year, but I'm going to fire them at this Saints team because two straight weeks, the Saints offense looked good against the Seahawks because they surprised them. They did not look good against the Cowboys because they looked limited and the Cowboys had a good defense. With another week of film on Teddy Bridgewater and the offense he's running, I think that's the difference. And these Buccaneers are able to win a close one.
I mean, the Buccaneers have shown that they can put up a bunch of points too, as they just hit 55 on the road. But I watched the Saints take care of Seattle on the road, then come home and take care of a very good Cowboys team. They're still at home taking care of a Bucks team that I don't think is as good as the Cowboys team. So I will take the home team Saints to keep this roll going.
Taking the weird divisional matchup.
Teddy two gloves and all. I will take the Saints.
Sweet two gloves.
All right, let's talk about a game that seems like a mile away, but I had fun watching. It was the Thursday night game when the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Green Bay Packers 34-27.
I did not have as much fun watching this game.
We both took the Packers. I loved what we said last week, that we were cheering for the other team for the same reasons.
Yep.
So I was the Eagles fan that night. You must have been cheering for the green and gold. But alas, I watched every snap of this game. It was a fun game.
It was a fun
game. Forth.
It was a lot of fun. And these Eagles looked like the Eagles they could be. The Packers look good. Like these teams both look like they are potential playoff teams facing off on a Thursday night when things were like just a little bit sloppy. Just a little bit sloppy. It wasn't bad, but both of these teams, once again, I think the Packers are probably looking at the Eagles going, ooh. Give me another crack at them. Can't wait. Because they very much could have won this game.
The one thing surprising here, 34 points. We all toasted this Packers defense saying, oh, it's all great now. I think it might give a blueprint to some teams going, no, there's a way to beat these Packers teams. And it is run the football. Run it down their throat. Because the Eagles had tons of run success in this game. Now, on the other side of the ball, where the Packers, you know, you have a good run game. Yes, you got Aaron Rodgers there. And Aaron Rodgers was dicing them up with Adams early in this game.
Because that is not a great secondary.
No, you're right. And the Eagles have plenty of problems on their defense, too. Rodgers threw for 422 yards in this game, but he had two touchdowns and an interception and a fumble, so he was in charge of two turnovers that were bad spots.
That interception wasn't on him, though. That came right out of a motherfucker's hands in
That's
the end
true.
Zone.
The fumble was, though.
Fumbles him, yeah.
They came around, smacked it out, and then the Eagles jumped right on it, and that was a huge turning point in this game, too.
Aaron Rodgers was this offense.
He was their top rusher.
Yeah. He had 46 yards rushing and 422 yards passing.
Yeah.
This was Aaron Rodgers at like...
Which that's fine, and
yeah,
he's a hero and he can win games that way, but it's usually like last drive games. It's not the whole time.
Yeah.
You needed some more help around him other than him just throwing to Adams. And Adams goes out in this game with an injury, and then it's like, all right, then I'm just throwing to my tight end, to...
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, he used to play basketball. Yeah. So
give it a try.
He's just throwing to Jimmy Graham now because Jimmy Graham caught a touchdown a little bit ago. And it was like, he's running out of weapons. He's running out of people he trusts to throw this ball to.
Yeah, because there was a throw to Valdez-Scantling that he tried, but Valdez couldn't get down.
Right.
And you know that Aaron Rodgers being the petty dickhead that he is, yeah. He's like, well, I should have started your break a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I'm not going to send it throw him his way anymore.
If he can't get down, if he can't pull his body out of the physical air... He's like, and I don't trust him.
Yeah, it just seems that way. So things were falling apart for Rodgers late. They still drove right down the field on the goal line looking to take a tie game. And I was basically thinking, too, I was like, well, at this point, Rodgers is going to tie this up and we'll see what happens in overtime. And I think if the Packers get the ball first, then it's probably over, too, because they got enough rolling here.
Yeah.
Instead, it was just, yeah, you're right. That interception was just enough tip. And
it was one of those things where you almost felt for the Eagles because that was when Maddox went down after a really bad injury.
Yeah.
With Sendejo coming in like a missile and basically knocking him out. And he, like, I don't know what the fuck happened to Maddox. Just not completely out. Still had movement, went to the hospital. But you almost felt like, oh, God, I hope the Eagles kind of don't lose this game now because they lose one of their better corners in the red zone. You felt for him when that pick happened. I was like, fine. Like, this is okay. Like, just emotionally.
Well, because there was two guys taking off in stretchers in this game, early and then late. And you're right. And when you're watching it and you're like, oh, yeah, Brandon Graham, who hit this guy, is still out there, the first one.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you even rush the quarterback with some veracity after that? Like, where's your passion after this? It's got to be so tough. He still did fine. But, yeah, you're right. All of the helmet-to-helmet hits were Eagles. There was the one on the punt right before that, and then the one that did take out the Packer, one of them's holding him, and then he comes in and hits him with the helmet.
It was bad.
It was just all bad.
Yeah, this was a tough game to watch, but like I said, just sloppy. Just seemed like guys were trying to take shots at each other that were not deserved. You know, the Green Bay Packers didn't look like world beaters, but the Eagles were just taking the opportunities they were presented with. This Green Bay defense still looked pretty good. considering. They were getting gashed by the run, but they were still making it very hard on Carson Wentz.
I don't know, though. Carson Wentz holds the ball almost as long as any quarterback out there. No sacks in this game.
Yeah.
And so that's a big thing, too.
The pass rush did not look good. The pass rush looked like they were very much stepped back by the running game.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, shit, we got to play the run. We got to play the run. The secondary looked like, hey, we're just doing what we do. But it really called back some of the pressure, knowing that the run was potentially coming every time.
So, Dan, I'll help you cheer against the Packers for another week as they visit your Cowboys. This week, it's Packers and Cowboys.
I mean, I'm taking the Cowboys because we just saw this Philadelphia team run the fuck all over them. I think we can do the same. And our defense ain't bad.
Now, you guys lost an offensive lineman?
We lost Tyron Smith, but we have Cam Fleming.
Okay.
Who isn't bad. Cam Fleming is like the whole reason we got him.
Put my worries to sleep, Dan.
It doesn't put my worries to sleep, but also it doesn't look like Tyron's going to be out for all that long. The injury when he went down didn't even look that bad because you didn't see like a big ankle flex. It just seemed like, oh, yeah, he probably hurt his ankle there, like sprained it. But it doesn't look like he's going to be out for many weeks, and this is why we have Cam Fleming.
Okay.
That's the whole reason. That's the whole reason why we have Cam Fleming.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the Packers were undefeated heading into this. Now, that was the best Eagles have looked all this short season so far, but I think it does prove some things, and now you put Green Bay back on the road, and they had a lot of home games up front here, other than the opening game in Chicago where they had an offseason to plan for it. I like the Cowboys. The Cowboys are always difficult at home. I'll take your boys here, and I'll cheer them loudly for them this weekend.
4-1 makes me feel a lot better than 3-2, so that's what I'm hoping we leave the week with.
There you go, and I want the Packers to be 3-2. All right, let's talk about the Jets coming off their bye week, and they go to Philly. They play the Eagles.
God, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you're like, hey, we're gonna be right in the ship. They're 3-2 at the end of this week because the Jets are going to get absolutely fucked.
I don't even know who's supposed to play quarterback for the Jets, but it probably doesn't
matter. I actually got to go. I got a flight to New York.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, good luck. Hope your trip goes better than mine.
Thanks. I'm taking Spirit Airlines because the Jets won't pay for it.
Oh, yeah. It's awful. Tell you what, don't settle for the middle seat. No, I'll take the Eagles in this one, too. I think the Eagles could show up to be an NFC team, or they're going to be one of these teams that have peaks and valleys.
I picked them as a wild card at the beginning of the season. So,
they're at home here against a Jets team where the season is slipping away.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to put your foot down and prove something. Let's see if they actually do. I'll pick them, but I want to see if they actually prove that.
They got 2 weeks of film on the Philadelphia Eagles. This is your best opportunity to win. It's coming off a bye week. So I sure hope I'm wrong. I hope these Jets come in there and upset these Eagles, but I just don't see it happening.
What do you got, Adam Gase? How did you plan?
What kind of googly-eyed weird shit are you doing for us?
All right, so we both got the NFC East teams in those two games. Let's talk about the game I was at for a half. Jaguars 26, Broncos 24. Neither of us saw this coming, but do you know who did?
Your mom.
Yes, she did. Wow. This is a little nuts. Mom took the Jaguars in this one. Jaguars in a comeback win.
God, Gardner Minshew looks just fun as shit.
Now, it was slow getting started for him in this game, but it didn't seem like he was over his head. It was a loud crowd. They pound the stands in there where the whole thing shake when you're up high where I was. There was a guy in front of me screaming his head off, even though he was in the upper deck 20 rows up. He didn't seem to care, or he was drunk enough. But Broncos started hot in this game, and it speaks volumes that the Jaguars were still able to come back.
This Jaguars team, especially on defense, will keep them in every game. And if Gardner Minshew is making the plays that he's making, and he really gutted it out on that final drive, taking a pretty bad leg injury and just figuring that shit out, this Jaguars team is fun. They look like they might make trouble in the AFC South. And DJ Chark still looks pretty solid.
No, yeah, Chark is a weapon now. If Minshew keeps this going, I will cheer for them all season long. It's great. And I've never really had much against the Jaguars. This was a Jaguars team without Jalen Ramsey playing. Ramsey was sidelined. He flew with the team. That was questions all week on whether or not how invested is he with this team and this back injury that he has. And he's been seeing the trainer and stuff. So it's a real one. It's not one of these.
Sure.
He wants to get out of here. But I think also if you do want to get out of here, you're not going to put your health at risk.
Yeah, that's true. The Eagles apparently offered a first and a second for Jalen Ramsey.
And they didn't.
They didn't pull the trigger.
Wow.
So if you're the Jaguars, you're thinking to yourself, I have a generational quarterback here.
Corner.
I have a generational. Maybe we'll see if I can mention you. I have a generational corner here.
Or can Ramsey drop back?
That's true. Let's do it again. I don't want to give him up for really anything. Like, there's unless you're trading me a top three pick and a second round pick for Jalen Ramsey, I don't feel comfortable letting him go.
Yeah.
You know, if I still think it's at all salvageable. Now, we'll find out in a week or two because we're going to get butting up against the trade deadline and they're going to either figure out, are we buyers? Are we sellers? Is Ramsey salvageable? Will he ever come back? Will the franchise mean a holdout? Who knows? But, yeah, I feel if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, you got to do better than a first and a second. That's how good Jalen Ramsey is.
If that's what they're asking for, I don't know if any team, I mean, unless you desperately need a cornerback for the Super Bowl now, this season. Yeah, I mean, can the Eagles even offer any more than that? That's nuts. Fournette in this game was a big, big help to Minshew and the gang. 245 total yards from scrimmage. He broke one off for like 80-something. I saw that one live. That was a lot of fun.
And then almost killed Cam Robinson at the end of the game when he almost got a penalty.
Yeah, that was weird. They were at each other on that game. And it was like, I thought it was Cam Robinson.
It was Cam Robinson's fault. He was doing stupid shit.
You need to stop. You guys are in field goal range about to win this.
And that was the point that Fournette was making. If you're going to have one person give you like a rational explanation of what's
going
on. It's
Leonard Fournette.
If it's Leonard Fournette that's like, dude, you're being weird. You're being weird.
Yeah.
You're making some weird decisions, Cam Robinson. Don't do this.
And that just seems like a Jaguars thing. Like, oh, we got a chance in this game. Let's make some problems for ourselves. That was them last year. Yeah, they did. There was enough. They figured it out. They win this one on that field goal at the end. Congrats, Jaguars. That was exciting. On the other side of the ball, Flacco started okay. He did have over 300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, the 1 interception. He hit Sanders for over 100 yards. He hit Sutton for 2 touchdowns. Broncos D, who was held for no sacks in the first 3 games, this Broncos D, led by Vic Fangio, a defensive-minded head coach, DDD, finally gets going. They have 5 sacks, but it's all bad news. Bradley Chubb, torn ACL, he's out for the season.
That's devastating.
You're 0-4, and your top defender outside of Von Miller goes out. Pack it in.
Yeah.
Go for a top draft pick.
Sorry. Tombstone.
Yeah.
It's Tombstone there in Mile High, but I got to see what the kid's got. I got to see what the backup quarterback's doing,
man. You
want
to see Drew Lock in there.
I want to see Drew Lock. I want to see him throw it around because we have to make a decision. Yeah. Is this a Jimmy Clausen situation? Where we're going to be picking in the top 5 or a, you know, number 1 pick or whatever that may be, and we've got to move the fuck on.
Yeah.
Because you valued Drew Lock as a second rounder. We know that because you took him in the second round. Everybody else valued Drew Lock as a second rounder. We know that because he went in the second round. A second rounder versus a top 5 is a very distinct difference. If Fangio doesn't like this guy, if Elway is like, fuck it, Drew Lock showed me nothing, you can trade that guy still for like a 5th or a 6th and go in and get a top, like a top 5 quarterback next year. So we got to see Drew Lock.
These are all good points. I think even better point of all this is you traded for Joe Flacco. He's not going to go anywhere from here.
Yeah, this is the best you're going to get out of Joe Flacco.
This game might be the best he has all season, and he lost.
Honestly, if I'm the Denver Broncos, I'm like, who wants Joe Flacco? Like,
right.
Because you can trade him for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and then somebody else is like, well, basically, we'll just take the rest of his salary for this year and then cut him. Okay, cool. We need a valid backup.
Okay.
You know, he's a guy that is actually trade bait now because most of his salary has already been absorbed or is very cuttable, and you don't need him to back up Drew Lock because he's a bit of a grimy old shitbag.
He can be a journey Vinny Testaverde quarterback.
Yeah, just go be a Testaverde. Go be a strong-armed asshole that nobody wants to have on the team, and they'll pay you like $2 million a year for the rest of your life.
Oof. So, yeah, Broncos come into the game and they leave with another loss at home, 0-4, against a Jaguars team that's not supposed to be doing this, but here's 2 wins in a row.
This was the only way they got it back, and to not only suffer a loss, but suffer a loss of Bradley Chubb, it's over.
Broncos can't get well here in L.A., and they play the divisional Chargers.
Yeah, there's not a chance. not with Bradley Chubb out. With Von Miller and Chubb, I thought maybe you could give Phillip Rivers some fits, but now they can just overload sides and just start running Melvin Gordon sporadically.
There you go, yeah.
You know, he's not going to be a 20-carry back right out of the way, but he's still got all that athleticism. I think this is a Chargers all over the place.
And Chargers, who stumbled a little bit in Detroit and the et cetera, they get quote-unquote home to play these Broncos. It's much easier than playing in Mile High. So, yeah, I like the Chargers in this one, and the old man Phillip Rivers throwing it over the old man Joe Flacco.
Yeah, for real.
All right, let's talk about the surprise game on Sunday that neither of us picked either, And hard to remember it happened. The Carolina Panthers beating the Houston Texans 16-10.
Real shock. Kyle Allen looks like a legit quarterback, and that Denver defense, sorry, the Carolina defense looks fucking legit too. Christian McCaffrey is having an MVP caliber season.
Well, and it helps to put up these crazy numbers. And again, 179 total yards from scrimmage and a touchdown. He's getting these numbers because he is it. Kyle Allen, I think he's his first read. Sometimes he's his only read. If Kyle Allen gets sacked, he fumbles the football. That's what's happened now the last five times. But it's still not enough to lose these games. And you're right, Panthers D had six sacks in this game. They're pressuring the quarterback better than anybody right now.
Yeah. And it's a full team pressure.
So there you go. Defense and a tiny little running back you can't catch, try to beat him if you get the lead. Try to beat them. If you got to play from behind, that's another story. But the Texans, who should be better than this, especially at home, and they almost lost to the Jaguars at home, which now we're figuring out the Jaguars a little better. Maybe it does speak to the Panthers' wellness too, or maybe the Texans just ain't ready to make that step that we thought they would.
They just couldn't get anything going offensively. And when they can't get anything going offensively, you can feel the team deflate. Because they know the defense is good, but they expect the offense to score 21 points. If the Houston Texans had just scored 21 points, they win this game.
Yeah.
That's all the Houston Texans needs them to do. You're not going to get into a shootout with the Houston Texans. You just got to score 20 to 21 points, and you could win every game you're in.
Deshaun Watson had a rushing touchdown this game, but that's about all he was able to do. The Panthers, six sacks. I feel like what I've always said about Carson Wentz, I have to start saying about Deshaun Watson. Guy holds on the ball too long.
Way too long.
He steps back. I think he relaxes, which is great. You want your quarterback relaxed in the pocket, but not that relaxed. He just thinks he's got way too much time than he does, and plays that are probably out there for him to make, he misses. And that's the only negative knock I have on this guy, because otherwise he's got talents abundance.
Oh, talent galore.
But I think they need to start getting him some quicker reads and stuff like that. I mean,
he's Big Benning a little bit right now.
There you go, yeah.
So, and Big Ben was 270 pounds. Deshaun Watson is about 220 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah.
So
he's missing 50.
Yeah. He's got to figure that shit out. He's got to get the ball out of his hands a little faster. He's just trying to make plays. This defense is so good, you don't have to do that. We said it before, can't go broke making a profit.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson needs to have that as a mindset because he's looking for big plays. Don't look for big plays. Just look for positive plays. Your defense is good enough to keep you in everything.
Yeah, Houston can have those big plays. Those will show up. But, yeah, you need some quicker ones. You need to clean this up for the Texans, not make it so difficult. Did you see J.J. Watt had Allen squared to rights on a sack, and he ducks out of it and makes the completion. Mm-hmm. One of the most amazing just elusive.
It's not better than the Romo evasion of a younger J.J. Watt.
The Romo one was good. I remember that one, but this one was pretty
This one was pretty
good.
Solid, yeah. Kyle Allen looks like he's being solid this year.
So those Panthers return home, and they get those feisty Jaguars. This is exciting to me because this is the 1996 Expansion Bowl. Yeah. I remember when these two teams came in there when I was a kid. It was like,
I'm shocked you don't have both of their 1996 jerseys at home.
I do.
Oh, you do?
I have a Kerry Collins and a James Stewart for the Jaguars.
That's great.
And a 33 Jaguars. In fact, it was between me and my brother. It was like, I think we're both picking a team here. And I was the Jaguars. He was the Panthers. And we were like those. But then, like, I think my birthday came up first. And I'm like, the Panthers jersey looks pretty cool. I want that. I was about collecting jerseys back then. But I mean,
age.
Obviously, me and my brother started sharing them. So I hope he didn't hold any grudges.
All you Hogans are the same size. That's very easy.
That's true, yeah. But this matchup, Jaguars-Panthers, this is 1996.
I'm actually going to take the Panthers.
Okay.
I feel like Christian McCaffrey cannot be stopped.
Right.
I feel like the Carolina Panthers are not as predicated on the run, and the Jaguars are very much predicated on... Oh, sorry. The Carolina Panthers are focused on the run, not the pass, and the Jaguars are focused on stopping the pass, not the run. So I feel like from a matchup standpoint, these Carolina Panthers just have a slight advantage over these Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, you're right. The Jaguars have some speedy linebackers that might be able to match up somewhat better on McCaffrey than other teams, but it's still a linebacker on McCaffrey. He almost got to put a nickel or a corner on him.
And then he's going to run you over. So you can't match up against Christian
It's McCaffrey. Real hard to, and the Panthers have figured that out. This is all we need to do. Even with, so we got backup quarterback versus backup quarterback, but still going to sound like an exciting game. I will take the Panthers just because it's at home, But these Jaguars keep proving me wrong each week.
Feisty Jags.
I took the Titans in the other last year. So they proved me wrong the last 2 weeks. Let's see if they keep burning me, Jaguars. Or maybe their lucky trach is me not picking them. That's how they keep winning. But I'll take the Panthers with you here. But I think it's going to be a tight one. I'm excited to see it. Let's talk about Titans beating the Falcons in this one, 24-10. Dan, you saw this coming. You're the only one of us that did.
I did. This Tennessee Titans team is still pretty good. With Derrick Henry, with Marcus Mariota, is still a good quarterback. He just needs to put it together consistently. And this Atlanta Falcons team, they haven't been good since the Super Bowl.
Did you think it was going to be this one-sided, though?
I didn't. No, yeah, this shocked me a little bit how early the Falcons just seemed like they were out of it.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like the Tennessee Titans came in there, punched them in the mouth, went up 24-7, and it was just like, well, that's all she wrote.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. And it really kind of was. Mariota looked really good after we talked about last week, like, oh, Titans fans are getting tired of this. Give him a couple extra days. He focused in and threw some good passes. Henry looked good, too. And then the rookie Brown with two touchdowns in this game.
Yeah. I mean,
they need those weapons. He's always kind of had a lack of offensive wide receivers that he could rely on. I mean, we've been waiting for
Corey Davis had a great game. He had 5 for 91 on a touchdown.
Yeah.
He looked really good. But guess what? Corey Davis was on my fantasy bench because I can't trust Corey Davis.
Right.
I can't trust this Tennessee Titans offense. I hope that this is the start of something positive for Tennessee, because I certainly know that this is in the middle of something bad for Atlanta.
Yeah, no, I mean, we talked about that the NFC South is all wide open. Even the Buccaneers look like they got a better shot at this now than the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
And this is the second year in a row that they've just disappointed me. It's got to be one of the more better rosters in the league that just keeps underperforming.
Yeah, this is going to cost Dan Quinn his job pretty quickly here. I don't think Dan Quinn makes it out of this season.
Yeah,
I feel like he's a mid-season firing.
I'm surprised by saying that too, but now I agree with you. As we keep moving along, because there's only one more game to talk about, let's talk about a couple games for next week first. The Atlanta Falcons go to Houston. They play those Texans.
Texans get healthy and take it out.
They should. They're at home, and I'm done believing in these Falcons, so I'll take the Texans as well. And then the Bills go to Tennessee to play the Titans.
This Bills defense shocked me with how good it was. I'm taking the Tennessee Titans. As good as they are, these Tennessee Titans seem more complete. They seem like they are slowly putting things together. And who knows if Josh Allen will even be out there.
That's
the
true.
He took.
Yeah, I don't know Josh Allen's health here. The Bills, God, they seem to be playing a lot of games on the road here to start. Three of their five on the road.
A 3-2 Buffalo Bills team makes me feel like the world isn't crazy.
Yeah.
A 4-1 Buffalo Bills team makes me feel like the world's still crazy.
Where they only lost to the Patriots? Yes.
Yeah, things
start getting weird there for Buffalo. It's a tight game, and I don't know. Okay, you know what? I'm going to take Titans. Mm-hmm. But if I find out that Josh Allen is healthy and okay, I might try to change my mind. I'll let you know, but I'm taking Titans right now, too. Titans right now. All right, let's talk about the last game on the docket from last week. That was the Cleveland Browns putting a 40-burger on the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. Am I reading that right?
What a 40 shocker.
40-25. Neither of us picked this. Nobody picked this.
No, this was a very feisty Browns team playing home run ball. And the Baltimore Ravens just seemed like they weren't ready for home run ball, even though that's the only thing we've ever seen from these fucking Cleveland Browns. It seemed like this was a very poorly coached game for the Baltimore Ravens.
Mayfield looked good finally, 342 yards. Landry finally showed up. I've had him on my fantasy bench all season. Because it's like, where's Juice? What's going on?
I don't understand
what Jarvis Landry's doing. But the Browns side, the story is your boy, Nick Chubb. You've been saying Nick Chubb, but I feel like for people who catch Browns games just in highlights, they go, okay, Nick Chubb is real.
So, once again, he was my number two running back behind Saquon Barkley. Now, he was not the number two running back selected in that draft, but Nick Chubb, since his time in Georgia, has been one of the most impressive quick-cut runners and a guy that builds up a head of steam instantly.
Yeah.
That is just the way he plays. He is a fucking bell cow running back. We're not even really talking about them getting Kareem Hunt. And if he keeps running like this, Kareem Hunt becomes a second fiddle to Nick Chubb. Think about that. In just a year and a half, that's how much better Nick Chubb has become. He's a fucking legit starter.
So That was that side of it. Now the Ravens.
I almost swung a Nick Chubb trade in my fantasy league this week, and I felt like I was absolutely getting over. And they pulled the trade at the last minute. I was so, and now I can't get him for anything after 165 yards and three TDs.
No. Ugh. Hold on to him. You need those running backs. The Baltimore Ravens came into this game with no turnovers, and then back to back drives in this game. Jackson turns it over.
This was an opportunistic Browns defense as well. Like, people sleep on how good this Browns D actually is. Yeah. The Browns D has been holding people down, and the offense just hasn't been answering the bell. This Ravens team, normally 25 points is more than enough to win a game.
Right. Now, a lot of this was, I think, garbage time. And
it was. I mean, they scored 15 points in the fourth quarter, but this very much felt like the Browns had it all game long. But once again, Cleveland shocked him. Cleveland shocked him early, and it was over in the third quarter.
And on the road, too, a divisional game on the road that puts the Cleveland Browns in the lead of this division for the time being. Yeah.
Technically the leader in the division.
There you go. Maybe it's not over for these Browns like we were all.
These were the two teams we were talking about for the AFC North the
absolutely
whole time.
It was, and now we know that that's true.
Yeah, because you look at the Bengals and you go, no. And you look at the Steelers and you go, no. And you go, all right, well, it's one of you two. Figure
you
it
be
out.
Yep. Let's talk about who they play, both these teams, next week. The Ravens have another AFC East North matchup. AFC North matchup. We'll cut all that out. No, I won't.
We won't.
Ravens at Steelers.
The Ravens have to win this game. You cannot lose three in a row after a hot 2-0 start.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. They have to go 3-2. Otherwise, we've got some problems in Baltimore.
It's not a primetime Steelers game, so I like the Ravens going in there and winning two. Or this is a shine a light and go, the Ravens haven't played anybody. And when they do, they lose. But the Steelers, I don't think are anybody,
I don't think
either,
anybody.
So I'll take the Ravens. And then finally, the Monday night football game, the Browns get the 49ers off a bye.
I'm going to take the 49ers only because they're coming off a bye and because this was a real hype game for the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going to take the undefeated San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I feel like it's the only way to go.
The undefeated. All right, let's wrap this up. That was the week four. Yep, week four.
we confused ourselves because we ended on the Niners. We're like 3-0? Week four, yeah.
Yeah, that was the week four. There's just the two more bye weeks next week, the Lions, and thank God the Miami Dolphins. Get a week where you don't have to watch one of those shit games.
Well, that's a bummer. Now we got to reschedule the 2 minute no offense.
Yeah, we got to figure out who else is in there. You're all watching teams don't want to be there or make it for a reason that you want to be there.
Yeah, get out of there.
Blow them up. All right, let's wrap up with the picks. Currently, I have bettered myself to 36. I got one more better than you this week, Dan, so you're at 33.
Yeah.
But again, just a 3-point differential.
Hey, man, I'm 2-2 at the quarter.
You know.
But how's your mom doing?
Mom is at 40.
Good Lord.
Four ahead of me, seven ahead of you. I can't count.
It's over.
She's running away with it already. We got to somehow catch up.
But I feel like I'm 2-2. I'm 2-2 in a division where your mom's 4-0. I'm
right. How it goes. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining another episode of the Push Off Podcast. We do these once a week, so I know you can sit through an hour and a half. We love talking about this stuff. You can hear it in our voices, and we love hearing from you guys. So please tell us everything.
I could talk football for another 3 hours, but then I would get divorced.
Oh, okay.
So we can't.
No, I like your wife. Let's get it. Let's
I
get
do too. That's why
here.
We don't do that.
So we're going to wrap up. So Dan's marriage stays intact. thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode. Check out us all out at thepushoff.com. You can listen to them all. I mean, even past ones are so much fun to listen to, even though you know what's happened.
Go back and listen to that Nick Chubb scouting, and you can see what I'm talking about. I was salivating, and you should be salivating too.
That's right. And check out all the great shows at universehead.com. I don't say it enough. Thanks to the Limbos for letting us use Drunk on Pop for our opening and closing song.
Good stuff.
We enjoy having that.
We like you, Limbo.
Yes, thank you. And everybody, link, rate, subscribe, tell your friends. Please listen. We love having you around. All right, Dan, crazy stats to end it.
Oh, yeah.
There are four teams that are 0-4. Four teams. All four of them have rookie head coaches. Mm-hmm. This is the first time in NFL history that the last winless teams are rookie head coaches only.
Wow.
Of 100 years of the NFL.
Interesting.
Also, the Broncos, Redskins, and Bengals, winless teams, have a combined scoring difference of negative 128. All of them combined. The Dolphins all alone at 137.
Good God, the Dolphins just are terrible.
Them. Just them, and you can't tell me they're not.
How are they
just
so
tossing
bad?
It? Oh.
Absolutely.
And then right down the middle of the road, the Jacksonville Jaguars are 2-2 right now. They're 1-1 at home and away. They have given up and scored 84 points. Dan, they're averaging and giving up 33.1 yards per drive.
The Averageville Jaguars.
There it is. All right, that's our show. Dan, do you have any parting words of wisdom?
We've already dished out a couple tombstones here. We've already got a couple locks for division winners. These Kansas City Chiefs locked that shit up. After this game against Buffalo, there's no chance Buffalo goes into New England and gets it.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Crown them again.
Unless Brady goes down or something.
I don't even, fuck, who knows? Brian Hoyer may wind up being an MVP.
No, he's gone. He's an Indy.
Oh, they'll get him back. you look at this season, and God damn it, man, it's wide open. That's the one nice thing about not being undefeated anymore as a Cowboys fan, is you go, I can breathe. Now we just play the rest of the season. It's like, you know, it's like giving up a no-hitter in the fifth.
Yeah.
Instead of giving up a no-hitter in the ninth, it hurts way more in the ninth. In the fifth, you're like, hey, I've already had a good game.
Yeah.
So we're 3-1, ready to take the rest of this division.
That's your parting words of wisdom to me. I'm 2-2.
You're 2-2.
All right.
There's no parting words of wisdom for 2-2. There will be parting words of wisdom if you're 3-2.
Okay, let's hope so. All right, guys, thanks so much for joining us. I am Scott.
And this is Dan.
This has been the Push Off Podcast. Have a wonderful week.